Whether you're new to the region or a lifelong Philadelphian, the city, as you've likely never seen it before, is depicted in the work of David Traub, who brings his background in architecture and photographic eye to bear in his book entitled Searching for Philadelphia, The Concealed City. Mr. Traub, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks tonight.
My pleasure.
Now, as a longtime resident, what first drew you to Philadelphia, specifically among the many cities that lend themselves to visual scrutiny?
Well, I came to Philadelphia from Louisville, Kentucky, where I grew up. I studied at the University of Pennsylvania with Louis Kahn. But after I was finished that year, that was 1965, I could have really gone anywhere. I was free. I could have gone back to Louisville. I could have gone to New York City. I could have gone to London or Paris. But what kept me in Philadelphia was really the charm and the intimacy, in a word, the narrow streets that abound in Center City and in the neighborhoods surrounding it. Just the old world charm, the intimacy, the romance of old Philadelphia.
Now, the subtitle Concealed City is aptly named. What you won't find in this book are the more iconic, obvious depictions, be they old, the Art Museum, or Ben Franklin Bridge,
exactly.
Or new, the Comcast building.
Exactly.
How did you think to organize the book and its chapters?
Well, it's organized into seven chapters. Okay, the emphasis really is not so much on buildings, but rather on places, sites. I start out with entryways, which really is kind of a metaphor for walking into the places, to the streets, the courtyards, the secret gardens. And entryways themselves could be little places, little spaces, you know, transitional spaces between a domain and another.
Spaces are what struck me. The extent to which structures interact with open spaces, it's almost analogous to music, the notes and then the pauses. And that comes through in your work.
That's true. Incidentally, I'm a bit of a musician myself. I play the cello. I have all my whole life. At one point, I was considering being a professional, but now I do it for my own pleasure. So yeah, music is a big part of my life. I like to say in my architectural work, I try to bring music to my architecture. Lyricism, poetry, but in my cello playing, I try to bring architecture, structure, and rigor. Okay, so.
Well, to keep that analogy going, some would call this book a muted musical piece in that all the pictures are in black and white. Why did you choose exclusively that medium?
Well, the black and white photography, I think in a way is more expressive, okay? And I was very much influenced originally when I started this project some years ago by the French photographer Eugène Auger, who documented Paris at the beginning of the 20th century, fearing that much of what he saw then would be demolished. Some of it was, unfortunately. So he was kind of the photographic influence.
It's a new book, but many of the photos were taken in 1982. Why specifically that year?
Well, that year I started the project. Okay, that was the tercentennial celebration year of the founding of Philadelphia in 1682. By William Penn. And so I had the idea for the project, and I seized upon the celebration as a time to kind of present the work. Okay, so that's exactly what I did. It took the form of an exhibit then. It was shown at the American Institute of Architects Gallery, then at 17th and Sansom Streets. It was also shown at then Girard Bank, which is now out of business, really. And then, interestingly, there was at that time, perhaps still is, an architectural museum or gallery in Dayton, Ohio. They found out about the exhibit and asked me to send it out there, which I did. And also, I went out there to give a little talk, a presentation. And the Daytonians were completely amazed by what they saw. They thought they were seeing a European city, a quaint old, you know, compared to Dayton, which is,
in
you know, a Midwestern, a typical American, a nice city, but a much newer. It doesn't have the narrow streets and the little courtyards and the secret gardens.
And so as such, they were viewing a European
city. By contrast, okay, they were, you know, viewing a European city.
So. As you cited the demise of beautiful architectural spaces in Paris, I know you're involved with preservation efforts here.
Yes.
Is it an effort that you feel good about, or are you seeing the erosion or the destruction or the demise of many sites?
Unfortunately, there's been a lot of demolition of historic sites. I mean, certainly since I've been in Philadelphia. When I came to Philadelphia in 1964, I was seeing a city that had not changed much since the Depression, okay, or since World War II. It was kind of like a time capsule.
A city of breweries, still the remnants of a manufacturing base, Connie Mack Stadium.
Yeah, there were many old streets, though, too, that had been torn away. Calla Hill section just below. There were streets behind the cathedral, the Catholic Cathedral on Parkway. There was a whole section there was torn out. I'm just giving you a few examples, okay. But then the city, by 1970, it was beginning to change. There were a lot of new buildings. There was on one hand. On the other hand, there was a lot of demolition. Having said all of that, okay, Philadelphia amazingly is very much intact. You still, can see the old city that abounds with narrow streets and courtyards and gardens and squares. The idea, the rule that I set for myself when I did this project, starting at back in 1982 and into the future, is that everything in the book is there to be seen. There is nothing in this book that is not there. It may have changed somewhat, but it's there. It's not a lost Philadelphia book. It's not a before and after book. Everything is out there for a visitor, a resident of Philadelphia, or a tourist to go out and take a look at and enjoy.
There are dozens and dozens of wonderful pictures in this book. For somebody coming upon it who has a very limited time frame for Philadelphia, can I pin you down to a couple of favorites not to be missed?
Quinn Street is in Washington Square West. It's one of the narrowest streets. It's very charming. And then off of Quince, there's little Jessup Street. There's a whole little labyrinth. Washington Square West is one of the richest areas with little secret courtyards and narrow streets. Another little area just up from there is between 12th and 13th. Pine and Spruce, where you find Fawn Street, Kamak Street, Eisenmenger Street, Panama Street, and then right off of Panama Street is Little Lantern Square, which is one of the smallest and most charming little hidden secret courtyards in the city. Just recently, I found another little courtyard, even smaller, just a couple weeks ago, in Society Hill on Delancey, the 200 block of Delancey Street. There's this little iron gateway with the figuration of a spider on the gate. It's an iron gate. It's kind of famous. People know about the spider gate, but I was fortunate to be admitted into the courtyard behind by the residents who were just kind of unloading groceries at the time of my visit. And they let me back into this tiny little courtyard, Wetherill Court.
And so with that, are you amassing materials for a sequel?
That's right. That's an image that's not in my book, and I do hope to do another book someday.
Mr. Traub, thanks so much for joining us on Newsworks Tonight.
My pleasure.
Photographer, architect David Traub, author of the book Searching for Philadelphia, the Concealed City, and we'll have a link on our website, newsworks.org, of some of these wonderful depictions in the book.